Welcome to another podcast in our series for the International Chamber of Commerce, UK branch. This is ICC's World Business Podcast, recorded in London on the 23rd of June, 2017. I'm Alex Abaratne, and I'm here with Chris Southworth, Secretary General of ICC in the UK, and Jordi Seyrez, ICC Spain, who is in London for the week. Jordi, what's keeping Spanish businesses awake at night?
Spanish business as a whole have changed a lot in the last 20 years from being mostly focused on selling inside. They are now mostly focused on selling outside. So we are now an export country, and that's why there are plenty of Spanish companies investing abroad. And I think that one of the main concerns for Spanish companies is to have stable rules anywhere they go, and to manage to get the growth not only in Spain but also in other countries, so that they will be able to buy us things, and also to attract tourists. That's something else, but as you know, tourism is one of the main industrial activities in Spain too.
Chris, we saw the Queen's speech earlier this week highlighting Brexit negotiations and, in particular, the repeal bill and the customs bill. Clearly, this will involve a number of changes to legislation and regulations. What do you think businesses should do to best prepare, and what should they be aware of?
Okay, so for businesses overseas, just to explain, the Queen's speech is the formal part of the UK Constitution where the head of state, our Queen, presents the government's legislative programme to Parliament. The two takeaways here really are, one, that this is a 24-month or two-year programme, not a one-year programme, which is the normal. And then there are eight large bills, pieces of legislation, that relate directly to Brexit. And both of those issues almost entirely relate to the sheer scale and volume of activity that's required to pull the UK out of the EU and start preparing the ground for the UK's future trading relationships.
The speech also mentioned the proposed trade bill, which aims to put in place a legal framework to allow Britain to strike free trade deals with countries around the world.
Yes, that's true, but it's unclear at the moment what the UK position is post the election. Before the election, it was quite clear that immigration was driving the agenda from the UK. Now it appears that jobs and the economy are more at the forefront. The lack of a majority in Parliament for this government has opened up a useful space for business and more dialogue, which is a real positive. But the key priority absolutely remains. For everyone in terms of the international business community, and that's to get the best deal in terms of safeguarding the free movement of goods, finance and skilled labour. Those are the big ticket issues.
If you allow me to say something, I was at the Spanish embassy two days ago, and they told us that 31 years ago there were 4,000 British residents in Spain, and the volume of tourists in Spain was about 400,000 tourists. Now it is 17 million tourists, British tourists, that go to Spain every year, and there are registered 400,000 British residents in Spain, and they assume that it is three times that amount of people that are really living in Spain. So this is a huge amount of people. So when you're talking about immigration, you also should consider that you would be immigrants somewhere else, some of you. So that's something to be taken into consideration from my point of view. I don't know.
So, Jordi, we were speaking a little bit earlier about the sheer volume of traffic between the UK and Spain, and you mentioned that Barcelona-London, there are 50 flights a day. I think for the outside audiences, that's a perfect illustration of why it's so important to get the right deal from Brexit. Because in terms of the air industry, if the UK air industry is not part of the EU regulatory framework, then that has all sorts of implications in terms of the number of flights, how those flights operate. And of course, if you multiply that across the continent, it's enormous. So it's so important for businesses that that deal is correct, it's right, it works for business, but it also works for people in the government too.
Just a correction, it is not London-Barcelona, these 50 flights, but United Kingdom as a whole and Barcelona. It would be almost impossible to have so many flights going from Barcelona to London, or the other way around. That's it, nothing else.
I understand, Chris, that you met the WTO UN Conference for Trade and Development and the UK Mission in Geneva this week to talk about UK private sector engagement. While Brexit is clearly the topic of the day, why is it also important that we focus on other issues, such as UK business engagement at the global level?
Yeah, so it was really interesting being in Geneva and talking to global policymakers, and of course there was I was immediately reminded that Brexit is just not the top priority for the world business community. And actually there are some considerable frustrations with the amount of time and resource that Brexit is drawing from not just the UK, but everyone else working with the UK, particularly across Europe. But barriers to trade are increasing, so that overall global trading environment is getting more expensive and more bureaucratic. The global priorities and where we need governments completely focused on are helping SMEs to trade, and that means increasing e-commerce, removing barriers to data flow, removing red tape on customs, and increasing investment in infrastructure and skills. The UK is not alone, of course, in being kind of caught up in a whole bunch of kind of sort of populist issues, if you like. Four of the G7 right now, the US, Germany, UK and France, all have very, very similar issues. And what that means is that it creates a gridlock at global level, because countries cannot decide to kind of move the agenda forward. And that's exactly where we are at the moment. There is actually some fantastic work going on. The Costa Ricans are doing some amazing work on driving the e-commerce agenda. The Jamaicans and Canada are doing the same in New York on driving the finance for development agenda. The UK really does need to be at the vanguard of those issues, not sitting on the periphery.
Jordi, how are Spanish companies engaging at the UN level?
Sometimes it is difficult to small and medium-sized companies to let them know that what happens outside, that is in the international arena, also affects them. For instance, I had a meeting with one company, this member of ICC Spain, a week ago, and they were not aware of what the BEPS, I don't know what you mean, you know what BEPS is, it's Base Arrangement Shifting Program, about all the tax authorities, not also not only in the OECD, but in other countries. That means a sort of a resurrection of the double imposition, more or less, to make it short. And that company, who is an international company, was not aware of that. So for medium and small size companies, it's difficult. But the biggest ones, that is Telefonica, Repsol, Santander, they are all aware that the market is not only Spain, but it's a global market. So anything that can happen out there might affect them, not in the long run, but in the short run too. So that's why they are also putting some effort in that. It is difficult sometimes to identify the right person in each company to be understood. But once you find it, or find him, her, it is very useful for them to understand what the ICC is doing in order to promote free trade.
So as the UK prepares the ground to leave the EU, it's ever more important that the UK business, the private sector, is playing its part in helping to create that positive trading environment. There are some excellent examples. BT, Aviva and Unilever are all kind of the poster children of the UN and in the UK government in New York and Geneva. But we need a lot more companies engaged. There are plenty of companies with fantastic expertise that we should be showcasing at global policy level. There are also huge opportunities for the UK in terms of green finance, infrastructure, skills and education, to name a few, where companies just need to be engaged alongside global policymaker, putting forward the case for positive solutions for how the private sector can help solve the world's issues. We're working alongside the UK government, we're working alongside our ICC colleagues like Geordie to try and make that happen, but we really do need more companies to come and join us in the challenge. So if you're interested, get in touch.
Thanks, Chris and Geordie. You've been listening to the World Business Podcast from ICC United Kingdom.